invitation. I appreciate it. As Mike said, my name is Dan Miley. I serve as a deacon here at Renovation Church. It's a joy and a weighty privilege to open up God's word with you. The last time I preached here a few months back, you were all very encouraging, and for that, I'm grateful. My prayer this morning is that the Lord would be fruitful among us, not because of me or any other preacher, because the living God speaks through his word. The Christian life is not sheltered from hardship. We have faced obstacles we have not foreseen, and in the coming year, we'll have our own trials again, many of which are hidden from us now. Scripture never shies away from telling us the truth. We live in a fallen world, a world with confusion, spiritual darkness, and a relentless enemy who's seeking to devour our faith. The people of God have always walked through this world with the pressures that it gives. We are not immune. We face uncertainty. We wrestle with temptation. We experience opposition. We feel fear. Psalm 27 places us directly in that tension. David expresses the reality of fear. He names it. He acknowledges his fear and his enemies, and he feels their presence. But against this dark backdrop, he holds up something brighter and unshakable, the Lord himself. This psalm is an invitation to see how a believer lives in a world filled with real threats while anchored in the Lord, who is light, salvation, and strength. So today, as we go through Psalm 27, we will ask, how does the knowledge of the Lord lead to confidence, dependence, and hope? Let's lift our eyes to the Lord, who is our light and salvation, in Psalm 27 together. Again, it's Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go before him in prayer before we begin. Lord God Almighty, you are unchanging and eternal. From generation to generation, you speak to us. You are a God who hears, a God who sees, and a God who acts. And Lord, you've acted by coming down to us in your word and in your son, Jesus. But Lord, you have not just only come down to us, you've also have lifted us up by your spirit to where you are. So Lord, we rely on your spirit today. Move in the hearts of everyone here. Illuminate their minds, soften their hearts to hear your word. And Lord, help me deliver this and proclaim it well. Give me strength and boldness. And may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, I pray. Amen. How many of you know the story of David? It is a familiar story. David was anointed king while still a young shepherd. Saul was Israel's first king, but after Saul's disobedience, God chose David, a man after his own heart, to lead his people. In God's providence, David entered Saul's service, defeating Israel's enemies, becoming a blessing to the nation. But the Lord's favor on David became evident, and Saul grew jealous and tormented. Eventually, Saul sought to kill David. He sent him to dangerous battles. He tried hurling a spear at him in the palace to pin him against the wall, and he hunted him relentlessly. David fled into the wilderness, isolated and living as a fugitive with a small band of loyal men. Many of his psalms of praise, fear, and trust were written during these dark times. After Saul's death, David became king. Yet even on the throne, his life was marked by sorrows. Following his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, the prophet Nathan told him that the sword would never depart from his house. And it didn't. His own son, Absalom, charismatic and ambitious, arose to seize the kingdom from him. But rather than destroy his son, he fled again to the wilderness. We can't say with certainty whether Psalm 27 was written during the time of Saul or Absalom, but we can say this. In both seasons, whether hunted by a jealous king or facing destruction of his own child, David had confidence in the Lord, depended on the Lord, and hoped in the Lord. Psalm 27 is forged in the furnace of David's trials. It's the voice of a man surrounded by fear, yet anchored in the knowledge of the Lord. A man whose confidence, dependence, and hope rested not in his own circumstances, but in the Lord himself. David begins the psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David begins the psalm by announcing who his God is. Before the enemies are named, before the circumstances are described, David lifts his eyes to the Lord. True confidence does not rise within us. It flows from knowing the Lord as he has revealed himself. Notice, David doesn't simply just say God. He uses the covenant name, Lord, all capital letters, Yahweh. The very name revealed to Moses in Exodus 3, I am who I am. This is the God who binds himself to his people with promises that cannot be broken. The God who is faithful when we are faithless. The God who remains the same when everything around us changes. And David says, the Lord is my light, my salvation, the stronghold of my life. This is doctrine, but so much more. This is personal to David. Theology has become experience. Knowledge becomes confidence. Light in Scripture signifies God's holiness and truth. Light exposes danger, reveals a path, and drives away darkness. How many people here are afraid of the dark? Especially when we're kids, we're afraid of the dark. I remember being young in a basement, and every time I would turn the lights off, I would run up the stairs on all fours, just bolting upstairs. I think there's a monster trying to get me in the dark. I don't know what it is. But if you turn the lights on, you realize there's nothing to be afraid of. God is like light in that sense. He reveals around us. When we can see, we realize there's nothing to fear when there's light on our side. David lives in a world filled with uncertainty and threat. Yet he confesses that the Lord himself illuminates his steps. With God, fear loses its power because nothing is hidden from his sight. Amen. And we know the fullness of this light is Jesus Christ, who declared, "I am the light of the world." Apart from Christ, there is no true light. The light of Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Salvation means deliverance. We just sang about it in the second song. For Israel, the great picture of salvation was the Exodus. The Lord rescued them from their slavery in Egypt into the knowledge of himself. But all of that pointed forward to Christ, whose very name means Yahweh is salvation. He delivers us from something far greater than slavery. He saves us from the bondage of sin, the tyranny of Satan, and the fear of death. When you know this Savior, we can confess, "O death, where is your sting?" The word stronghold just means strength. David's confidence does not rest in his military skill or his crown. It rests in the Lord himself, the Lord who is his strength. And for the believer, Christ is that stronghold. Christ is your strength. The one who lived perfectly for us, the one who victoriously for us died and rose again triumphantly. He overcame sin, the world, and death itself. The one who knows Christ as strength can say with David, "Whom shall I fear?" This is a call to examine ourselves. What is your light? The thing you rely on when things get dark. What is your salvation and escape? What is your strength? Is it your career? Is it your bank account? Is it your spouse? Is it your abilities? Is it your health? Is it your nation? All these things can and they will fail you. Nothing can bear the weight of an immortal soul except the immortal God. If Christ is not your light, you remain in darkness. If Christ is not your salvation, you remain in bondage to sin. If Christ is not your strength, you have every reason to fear. But if he is your light, salvation, and strength, then you may walk through the darkest valleys with unshaken confidence. Like David, we should all press the knowledge of God into our soul until fear bows before it. But when you know the Lord, truly and personally, you gain the confidence David had. Confidence in the Lord who keeps covenant, shines light, saves sinners, and is the strength of his people. And with such a God, whom shall you fear? But David doesn't stop right here. He goes on to name and express his fears. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. David speaks honestly. He acknowledges the threats and fears he faces. When evildoers assail me, though an army encamp against me, the war arise against me. David names his fears. He faces his circumstances without denial. He knows there are men who want to harm him. He knows evildoers surround him. He knows armies outnumber him. He knows a war is being waged for his life. David teaches us something profoundly biblical and deeply experiential. Faith is confidence in God in the midst of fear. David's confidence is in the Lord, not his circumstances. Knowing the Lord gives David confidence. For the Lord is a covenant-keeping God who will fulfill his promises to his people. So David says, yet I will be confident. The Lord is greater than his fears. In the midst of David's fears, the Lord looms much larger. This is doctrine turning into experience, truth becoming strength. You and I may not have physical armies around us, but Scripture tells us we are in a war just as real and far more eternal. Sin encamps around us. Satan is using his tactics to try and see you stumble, fall, and kill your faith. Every day, there is a battle for your soul. The moment we wake up, the moment we go to sleep, we are bombarded by temptations, especially now in the 21st century. Our phones just streamline images across to us. Lust, greed, jealousy, envy, anxieties it faces. Every day, there is a battle going on for your soul. If your confidence rests in yourself, if your confidence rests in your resolve, your habits, or your moral strength, you will fall. But if you know the Lord, if you truly know him, you can say what David said, my heart shall not fear, yet I will be confident. Why? Because Christ has overcome our enemies. The greater son of David, Jesus, faced enemies stronger than David confronted. He faced sin, Satan, and death, and he triumphed. Your confidence does not rest in your ability to win the battle, but in the one who already won it for you. Christ lived perfectly where you have failed. Christ lived perfectly where I have failed. Christ conquered the sin that you are enslaved to and the death you are afraid of. When your eyes are on him, Jesus, who is your light, your salvation, your strength, your heart can echo David's words with certainty. The war arise against me, yet I will be confident. In Nigeria right now, there have been 90,000 Christians killed. They're being hunted down in the streets. Their churches are being burned to the ground, demolished. They are in fear for proclaiming Christ. Every day, they are hunted and tormented by, is this my last day to live? And there's footage of these Christians in rubble churches that have been burnt to the ground, praising God still. In the midst of all their fears, they're praising the Lord. Why do these Christians in Nigeria have this confidence? Or Christians throughout history, or even David right here? Is this right, what David says? One thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. What keeps David going? What keeps these Nigerian Christians going? It's the single longing to dwell in the house of the house of the Lord all the days of their life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. David is not asking for a brief refuge. He's not asking for a passing spiritual moment. He wants a lifelong habitation with God in his presence. The Puritans often said that the believer's greatest heaven on earth is fellowship with God, to behold his beauty with the eyes of faith. For God's beauty is not borrowed from this world. It is the fountain from which all lesser beauties flow. Every joy, every pleasure, every comfort in this life is but a faint shadow of the one who is perfectly and supremely good. This is why David and believers across history can worship in the midst of fear. The Lord himself is better than anything this world can offer. Place every earthly pleasure on one side and place the Lord on the other, and the scale would break beneath the weight of the Lord's glory. When you generally know the Lord, your heart is drawn to seek him, inquire after him, and fix your gaze upon his majesty all your days. David's confidence flows from this vision of God. He knows God will hide him in his shelter, lift his head above his enemies, and cover him with divine protection. Because he is safe in the Lord, David's response is not fear, but praise. Many of us feel fear in our circumstances because we do not have confidence. This confidence comes from knowing the Lord, spending time in his presence, and knowing that fear and death can never separate us from the love of God. The knowledge of the Lord is all that you need. When you know the Lord, you will have confidence in him. And when your confidence is in him, you will praise him in the midst of every fear. As we see that knowledge of the Lord leads to confidence, it also leads to dependence. David goes on to say, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Having declared his confidence in the Lord, David now turns to prayer. Confidence leads us to praise God. Dependence keeps us in prayer with him. The one who knows the Lord does not stand tall in his own strength. He bends low in prayer. David, in this prayer, uses three verbs: hear, be gracious, answer. And this reveals a heart resting entirely on God. And yet David uses the covenant name of God again, Yahweh. He pleads with a God who has bound himself to his people by promise. But notice something beautiful in verse 8. God initiates this prayer. Seek my face, the Lord commands. We would never seek God unless he first sought us. The grace of God always moves first. God sought Abraham. God sought Jacob, Moses, and he seeks David right here. And in these last days, he seeks you and his son, Jesus. The eternal Son took on flesh, dwelt among us, and opened a way into the presence of God so that you may come, cry out, receive grace, and find your prayers answered. The heart and core of the prayer is this: to seek God's face, the one who is light, salvation, and strength. David responds, "Your face, Lord, do I seek." This is an echo of the regenerate heart, a heart awakened by God's invitation. Apart from God's grace, we would all run from him. But by grace, we all run to him. David prays, "Hide not your face from me." This is the greatest fear of the saints. It's not death, it's not defeat, but God withdrawing his countenance. Yet in Christ, God's anger has been satisfied. His face is turned towards his people with favor. Therefore, when you pray in Christ's name, you do not need to wonder if you'll be cast off. The Father has already taken you in. David says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Whether David speaks literally or figuratively, the point is so clear. Even the deepest human relationships can fail, but God never will. Amen. This is a comfort to persecuted believers around the world. including the Nigerian Christians who are rejected by their families for following Christ. Or maybe you have been cast off by your family for following the Lord. But the Lord will become your refuge. He adopts you as sons and daughters in Christ. Earthly ties may break, but the family bond in Christ holds even through death. David ends this section with a petition. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Dependence in prayer always leads to obedience in life. When the Lord takes us in, he also instructs us how to walk before him. A disobedient life grieves the Holy Spirit, but a faithful life delights him. Like David, the faithful Christian desires a path pleasing to God, one marked by his commandments and his ways. And this is the fruit of dependence. One, we seek his face. Two, we trust in his grace. Three, we submit to his leading. And four, we walk in his ways. The knowledge of the Lord draws us near in prayer and keeps us near in obedience. The knowledge of the Lord is all that you need. When you know the Lord, you will depend on him. And dependence looks like prayer and obedience. As the knowledge of the Lord produces confidence and dependence, it also produces hope. David says, I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Though these verses are brief, they contain a whole world of devotion. David has moved from confidence to dependence and now rises in the quiet strength of hope. Having declared who the Lord is and having sought his face in prayer, David now rests his heart in the certainty of God's goodness. I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of the Lord is the sum of all of God's covenant mercies, his faithfulness, his steadfast love, and his saving power. David's not wishing for better days only. He's believing in a faithful God. David expects to see the goodness of God in this life, not only in the glory to come. Just as he longed to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in his temple, so he longs to experience God's gracious intervention in his trials. Hope for David is not an escape from reality. It is confidence in a God that will meet him where he is at. David moved from confidence to dependence to hope. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David ends by preaching to his own soul. He knows the battle is not yet over. Deliverance may not come swiftly or at all in this life. But waiting on the Lord is not passive. It's active. Waiting is steady endurance, grounded in God's perfect timing. Wait for the Lord. It's said twice, as if David is tying his trembling heart to this anchor. Waiting strengthens confidence. Waiting deepens dependence. Waiting teaches the soul to hope in the Lord. And in calling himself to courage, David does not summon his own inner strength. He draws it from the Lord who is his strength. The command to be strong is fulfilled only by the God who strengthens. As Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just as David faces wars and threats to his life, we face daily assaults of sin and temptation. And God calls us to the same patient perseverance. Trials refine confidence. Troubles deepen dependence. Waiting matures hope. My grandmother on my father's side, we called her my mom. She was a very godly woman. She loved the Lord. I don't remember a time when I met with her, she did not talk about the Lord and Jesus. She loved his word. She prayed for her family and people she met. And towards the end of her life, she had a stroke that left her basically handicapped, her whole left side of the body down. Couldn't walk anymore, had trouble speaking, and her hand was crumpled up. She couldn't even open it. And I was going through a hard time in my life and my faith at the time. But I remember going to a worship service, and she was in a wheelchair at the end of the row. And I look over at her in the midst of dying, her body broken, her mind not the same as it once was, her just praising the Lord. And just seeing her little weak arm go up, just raised to heaven, praising confidently who the Lord is, depending on him, hoping in him. And it was tough because we came from a charismatic Pentecostal background, so there was always that idea of she'll be healed, she'll be healed, she'll be healed. That's what she was hoping in. And we never experienced that healing in her life. And I remember talking to her about it, and she was just like, I just want to be with the Lord. I just want to be with Jesus. And she died. She was not healed in this life. But I know that she is healed in Christ. She is not dead, but she is alive. I remember also talking to her about it too. She said, when she said, just wants to be with Jesus. This world was not her home. This world is not your home if you are a Christian. We are pilgrims in this life, journeying towards a heavenly city. But my grandmother, she had confidence in the Lord. She depended on him. She hoped in him. When we know the Lord, we hope in him. When we hope in the Lord, we persevere. For the God who calls us to wait is the God who sustains us as we wait. The Lord is our light, our salvation, and our strength. Therefore, let our hearts take courage today, not because you are strong, because the Lord is. May we say with David that we desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. In a world marked by sin, fear, and uncertainty, Psalm 27 has shown us the knowledge of the Lord is all that we need. Confidence in his character, dependence on his grace, and hope in his promises. But David's longing points well beyond himself. When he speaks of dwelling in the house of the Lord and gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, he is reaching for something greater than stone walls or earthly temples. The house of the Lord is not this building or any church around the corner. The house of the Lord is Christ himself. Everything David desired found its fulfillment in him. The temple was but a shadow. The sacrifices, the priesthood, the holy place were all pointing to the coming Christ. As John tells us in the beginning of his gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word dwelt, it's tabernacled, where the presence of God would meet with his people. Jesus is the true dwelling place of God. In him, God meets with his people. In him, the beauty of the Lord shines without veil or shadow. Here and now, we gaze upon the beauty of Christ by faith, the beauty of his holiness, the beauty of his faithfulness, the beauty of his righteous obedience, the beauty of his sacrificial love, the beauty of his justice and mercy, the beauty of his light and salvation. Everything David longed to see in the temple, believers now behold in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the great privilege of the new covenant. Do not travel to a building. We come to a person. And the story does not end here. John tells us in the book of Revelation that in the new heaven and new earth, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There will be no sun, for the glory of God will be its light, and the Lamb will be its lamp. The eternal house of the Lord is the everlasting presence of Christ himself. There, the redeemed will dwell forever. There, we will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, not by faith, but by sight, upon his beauty. There, every trembling heart will finally say with David in perfect fullness, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" If you are someone here who does not know the Lord, this is your time to come to him. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is light, and he is strength. Today, if you want to have confidence in those things, if you want dependence and hope that only comes by the one who is light, salvation, and strength, come to Jesus. If you are here today and you know the Lord, you can be assured that he is your light, your salvation, and your strength. The knowledge of the Lord is all you need to face any fear. The knowledge of Christ is all that you need. Christ is all that you need. Let us do what David did. Let's pray, praise with confidence, praise with dependence, and wait with hope. For Christ, our true temple, is our light, our salvation, and our strength. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.